Hey, everybody. Welcome to Partially Derivative, your favorite data science podcast. I'm Jonathan Morgan, your host this week, and in this episode, we're talking about doing data projects in your community where you can have a ton of impact. Regular listeners will know that the show is a proud supporter of Data for Democracy, and I'm personally involved with that volunteer collective. You may not know that about a month ago, D4D had its first hackathon. This was especially cool because most of the projects in the community are focused on national or even international issues. So presidential election data, refugee migration, you name it, the community is probably working on it. But when Nick Colley, a volunteer who's taken a real leadership role in D4D, suggested the hackathon, we thought it'd be kind of a natural extension of those ongoing projects. But pretty quickly, volunteers in cities around the country started suggesting in-person meetups to take place over that hackathon weekend. And before we knew it, there were hundreds of people getting together in Boston, New York, DC, Seattle, Austin, Chicago, Louisville, and San Francisco, in addition to all of the folks who were going to participate online. Now, many of these groups are meeting on a regular basis, and now new groups have popped up in other cities like Denver and Boulder, and they're all focused on bringing data science to local projects. So I asked Nick and a handful of people who led the different city meetups to come on the podcast, talk about their experience, and what was different about building a volunteer community around data, which is pretty different than the normal hackathon project. So it was a great conversation. I think you're really going to be into it. But before we get started, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
This week's episode is brought to you by Vera. With Vera, you can still harness your R skills, but you can also take advantage of a visual drag and drop interface to do things even faster. Plus, Vera allows you to collaborate with non-coders to get the work done as a team. You can connect to any data source to blend and transform for analysis. SQL, Oracle, Excel, Access, Hadoop, Salesforce, Text, Teradata, Vertica, Amazon Redshift, you name it. Vera is currently rated the number one advanced analytics solution by number of reviews and total ratings on Gartner's Peer Insights website. Share your data superhero story, and you can get an official data superhero starter kit at getvera.com. Go be a data superhero.
All right, and with that, let's move on to our conversation with Nick, Daniela, Mark, Dave, Stephanie, Gabriella, and Zach, who were all part of leading these in-person and online meetups for the Data for Democracy Hackathon. Let's check out the conversation. All right, cool. So thanks. We have a big round table. Everybody or a lot of different participants, people who've been involved in different hackathons around the country or people who are involved in different Data for Democracy hackathons around the country for that big event, and also who some of the remote organizers are all here on this call. And it'd be great to hear from everybody to kind of get a quick introduction about who you are and what you were working on during this big Data for Democracy hackathon.
Hi, I'm Nick Colley, the hackathon coordinator. I was the one coordinating a lot of different online meetups for people to jump into the projects, as well as getting the YouTube videos recorded and getting the theme and everything set up. So just kind of coordinating, and also kicked off a weather project of democratizing the weather data so that anybody could use it.
Hi, my name is Daniela Hoppenkoten. I was involved in organizing the on-site hackathon in New York. I spent a lot of time that day just getting, you know, it organized and making sure everyone had something to work on. But in the free time, I worked on doing drug classification for the drug spending project.
Hey there, my name is Mark Stevenson. I'm the founder of Red Oak Strategic. We're based in DC, and we hosted the hackathon in the DC area. Had a great turnout. Had a really good day.
I'm Dave Mattingly from the Civic Data Alliance in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been part of the alliance, I think, with every National Day of Civic Hacking and every Code Across, although I might have had to miss one over the years. This is my first year as what we call a core member, being not quite a founder, but one of the general organizers rather than a participant. And it was a lot of fun. We had roughly 50 people, including a visit from the mayor of Louisville, who usually does stop by at our hackathons.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Kermer, and I am based out of Chicago. I'm a data scientist at Uptake in my daytime, and I was one of the organizers of the Chicago Hackathon, along with three other great friends who joined up to make this happen. We had about 25, 30 individuals who showed up who were previously unknown to most of us, and we were able to do a really great project hosted by the kind people at Metis.
Hi, everyone. My name is Gabriella Swider, and I work at Data.World on a lot of our community engagement initiatives. So we've been working pretty closely with Data for Democracy, and we're really excited to be involved in the hackathon. So I was personally at the Seattle location. We had a lot of really great projects coming out of that location, but one in particular that I really enjoyed, Ed Freeman, which is one of the participants, did a data analysis of racial patterns in the 2016 presidential election. So it was exciting to see all these projects come out of this effort and looking forward to discussing on this call.
Hey, I'm Zach Moeller. I'm a data scientist at AWS, and I also help run a nonprofit community lab in Seattle called SoundBio. I helped organize the Seattle in-person event with the help of Gabriella, Jonathan Torres, and George Richardson. It was a great weekend up here. We had a full three-day event of in-person stuff going on at Ada's Technical Bookshop.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for joining the call. It was such a cool mix of different projects and initiatives, and different kind of a different focus in all of the cities around the country. And I think what was really interesting about it is this whole thing felt different to the way that kind of hackathons normally work. I think the image that most people probably have in their mind of a hackathon is maybe something where there's a contest and everybody's focused on a specific goal, or maybe everybody gets together for like an afternoon or an evening and tries to throw an application together really fast and everybody sees what they can come up with. And I think that there's something a little bit different about the way that this came together and its focus and its purpose, maybe because it was data specific, or maybe because there's this kind of larger Data for Democracy community behind it. I'd be curious to talk about that a little bit, or kind of hear what everybody's experiences were. I don't know, Nick, I guess from your perspective at kind of looking over this this like federated effort, kind of what was your impression of how this was different than the typical hackathon process?
So for Data for Democracy, one of the strengths that this community has is connecting people that are passionate about various subjects to use data to make viable products for the public at large. And that's not to say that other hackathons don't make very useful tools for civic engagement. But for Data for Democracy, this hackathon, this was like our first major hackathon. This came about a couple months after we first kind of came together as a group to start driving community engagement, because there's a lot of people that came to us saying, hey, you know, we can only participate ever, you know, on short limited windows. Can we dive in and do something? And with D4D, we have a huge emphasis on, you know, data miners, data scientists, and software engineers that interact with data on a regular basis, and trying to find and working on projects to make data easier for people to consume. That's where I feel like the difference from a normal hackathon to this hackathon is that we're just trying to make that data more consumable for the average Joe.
Hey, this is Mark. Just to piggyback on that, in DC, a lot of the focus of the projects was actually on exactly what Nick said, just unlocking a lot of data that is out there. A few projects that were worked on, one was scraping, you know, social data around the election. Folks were looking at different groups that were talking and the possibility of some, you know, large scale kind of outside influences on the different social streams. Another group, which I was personally working on, was actually unlocking political spending in media. And a lot of this data is just out there and not available for analysis because it's either, you know, on a chat room or in a Twitter feed, or in the case of a lot of the political data, locked up in PDFs. And so we were working on that, and it was just interesting because instead of building towards a product that somebody could build in one day, we were actually building towards data sets that could actually then be analyzed after the fact. And it was just great to have a pretty diverse group in DC working on that sort of stuff.
Yeah, if I can add on to that, I was actually surprised a bit by that question when you said, how is it different from a normal hackathon? Because I organize a lot of events in the science community, and our events are almost always organized around data. So for me, it was kind of a natural jump. But still, it was a big experiment for the New York crowd, because we ended up having very few people who were already involved with Data for Democracy and lots of people who were new. And on the one hand, that was exciting to like build this community more. But on the other hand, I was a bit worried that a lot of people would just try to spend the day getting to know the data and not actually, get anything out of it. And in that sense, I was positively surprised by how much good data sets there are already out there. There were, of course, it was great to have people there who had lots of expertise in, things like web scraping and stuff. But even without that, there's now so much data on, data.world, or New York has its own sort of server of data sets. That was really impressive how easy it was really to jump in, even as someone who was completely new, to just jump in and start doing a small project and actually finish that within a day.
I think that the Chicago experience reflects some of that as well, that we had mostly people who were brand new to Data for Democracy who joined us in our hackathon. I'd also say, on the question of how this is different from other hackathons, I think Chicago may be at a disadvantage because none of us had ever participated in the hackathon before. All four of us who were organizing were all data scientists, data analysts, and so none of us had participated in like a programming hackathon or anything like that. And we really wanted our hackathon to be local specific. We wanted the projects to be about Chicago and about the sort of municipal issues and problems in the region. And so we ended up with projects that were very focused on the needs of our kind of communities. And I think that that doesn't sound like that's what most hackathons end up producing, but we were really proud of how that turned out. We had a project about water quality and the EPA in the Great Lakes, and we had a project about lobbyists and Chicago city officials. And those were both, I think, really fit the goals that we had when we started out.
This is Gabrielle. I'll hop in here too, just kind of comparing this hackathon, that was so focused on data versus other hackathons that that I've been involved with. But it was really awesome to see just the variety of scope of all the different projects. And a lot of the projects I know put in some good legwork ahead of the event to prepare their data and clean it and have it available so that, when the teams got together, they could build off of that. And so what I think was really unique about taking this type of a data-focused approach with this hackathon is that having that data captured in one central location made it really easy for a lot of these projects to build off of that and continue that work. I know that there's still some that are still working on the data produced. So instead of focusing on a specific deliverable in that one chunk of time, being able to use the data and capture it in a way that can be built on moving forward was definitely a really unique aspect there.
Dave Magley here from Louisville. This was different, and this is our first year that our city has had a chief data officer, and he was there. It was nice to have him bring all of his experience and authority to the role. And we had people from the police department come by, people who are generally focused more on their data collection and cleansing and use, to talk about what's going on in their department and to answer questions about how we can help them. The city's recently been focusing a lot on engagement and innovation, and some reporters stopped by too. We also had two new hackathon captains, Margot Spring and Becky Steele. That's the first time that someone who was not a founder of the Civic Data Alliance has led one of our hackathons. and the first time also with two captains. And they did a great job. We had about maybe two-thirds of people that showed up out of our 50 were first-timers, people who had never gotten involved before. And they're really excited and look forward to doing more with us in the future.
That's something... I'm sorry, piggyback off you, Dave, that's something we actually noticed is this hackathon serves as a place for a lot of new people to jump in on projects that they, because there's a lot of established projects, and having talked to a lot of new community members, there was a lot of fear of, well, I don't want to dive in and interfere with what's going on. So we got some good feedback saying that they had the opportunity of diving into some of these projects without feeling like they're stepping on other people's toes, but also able to start new projects to feel a part of the community and really drive some cool things. So it's really cool to hear.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like in general, there was a kind of a big focus here on, or something that worked across all of these different hackathons was making sure that people had a chance to kind of get engaged right away. It was interesting, Daniela, that you talked about the bridge between the work that you've done in kind of scientific communities and the way that people rally around a data set, like the data is available for them to get in and do something interesting with. And I feel like that came up a lot where, whether you were focused on local data, like in Chicago, it sounds like Dave in Louisville, you also had some kind of local participants, people with domain expertise and knowledge of the data in the local area. But no matter what, it seemed like access was really important, that people could kind of sit down, even if they weren't familiar with the organization, even if they've never been involved in a hackathon before, which I think is probably pretty common for a lot of data type, their data scientists, that that they could get in and do the work that they wanted to do without a lot of, without a lot of screwing around, like looking around for data, trying to figure out what might be important, that they could, that it was just kind of ready for people to plug in right away. That seems like an essential component to this. Does that kind of resonate with what you all experienced on the ground?
Yes, and on that note, we even had some projects that were specifically beginner friendly. You didn't have to have hardly any data or barely even any computer skills at all to use to help out with.
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely agree. Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
I definitely agree that it was a really cool experience to be able to come together, people who didn't know each other and didn't have a pre-planned idea what we were going to work on, and be able to take, you know, the municipal data that was readily available. I worked on the lobbying project and specifically at Chicago, and to be able to take the data and go all the way to a finished product over the course of a weekend. Like I said, not knowing each other and not having structure beforehand, I think it was extremely rewarding. I think people really enjoyed it and felt very accomplished at the end. And that was something that made me want to do this again for sure.
Go ahead. I would just like to say, I was also just really impressed by the participants and by the way they started interacting with each other. I was a bit worried that sort of the more experienced people, that's something I always worry about with hackathons, is that the more experienced people will just jump in and do stuff. And then, you know, the people who are new to hackathons, who are maybe not sure about how to even approach something, will sort of not know what's going on. And then as an organizer, I feel like I should try to, you know, engage people and make sure they have something to do for the day. But somehow all of the participants managed to sort of find themselves projects. And there was a lot of, what I like about hackathons is the sense of community it fosters, of people sort of working with each other, with people they've never interacted with, who have, you know, maybe different types of expertise or come from completely different jobs. And there was a very wide variety of people from different jobs at our hackathon. So that was really nice and rewarding to see as well, apart from the, sort of tangible outcomes of the hackathon itself.
Yeah, this is Mark in DC. We had people that were literally learning, they were students in data science. So they had a couple years of experience, people that have over a decade of experience working together, which was great, and folks in different, you know, industries. And shout out to Chris Dick, who has helped me organize. I mean, we brought together, Jonathan was there, and, you know, we had people just sort of naturally split up and start working on different projects together. And I think throughout the event, we're also teaching each other different tool sets. And I think everybody walked away with an appreciation, but also an introduction to tools that they can go on and learn more about, which is probably one of the bigger successes of a get together like that.
And I think that that's actually a nice segue into something that that I think is important to talk about in this context, because we're hearing a lot about the experience of people who maybe came to a hackathon for the first time or are getting engaged, like kind of taking on some new, you know, civic responsibility in a way that maybe hasn't always been easy to build communities that have this type of interest amongst data scientists or people getting into that field. And so I'd like to talk about that as well. Like, why is this important? I don't think this has really been part of the of kind of the ethos or the image or the identity of the data science community. And what is it that makes this kind of thing necessary? Do you think that the reason that this should exist, do you think that we kind of accomplished part of that mission in the hackathons that you all were involved with?
Yeah, this is Gabriella. I can hop in there. I think it was really powerful to see everybody come together. And definitely the reason why I think it's important is, you know, you're building a community and you're plugging people in where they can apply their skills to a tangible group effort and make an impact. And it's an outlet for expression and connecting with other people. But beyond that, you know, these types of events and initiatives are helping to democratize data and making public information more, you know, accessible and ultimately actionable to the general public. So you're really bridging that gap between something that, you know, might be intimidating and helping people get plugged in and learn from each other and build something that their communities can really value and, you know, benefit them.
This is Stephanie. I think one of my new friends who I met at the hackathon actually said it really well. When his name is Stephen Hoover, and when he was asked why he decided to join the project on lobbying specifically, he said, "Well, I live in Chicago, and it's, you know, it made it really I think made it really clear to me that, like, people care about where they are, they care about their communities, and they care about making them better." And for data scientists, we don't always get those opportunities in our, you know, day-to-day work. We may be optimizing something or, you know, predicting something that isn't totally, you know, relevant to our little neighborhood or our friends or our communities. So I think a lot of people really got real excited about being able to apply those skills that we all have to something that felt so relevant and so sort of beneficial.
This is Nick. So not only are these type of engagements really great for connecting and meeting people around your community, because, you know, we just go to work and grocery store most of the time when we travel out, but these type of engagements allow people to find ways to use their professional skills in a volunteer or in a civic manner. This is something like if you go to a church or you go to an organization, most of the time people are looking for, you know, people to move things, but it's like, well, I have this unique skill set. How can I use it? And these type of events help people use that, where most of the time it's, you know, using it for a company. Now we can use it for something that can help the populace of the area you're in. And that's why I felt like this was such a successful hackathon.
This is Mark. I think one thing points it for the DC group. One was that it brought together a pretty diverse group, probably, you know, looking at DC from different political backgrounds, et cetera. And I think that's one thing that probably is a little bit unique in the current environment that we all live in. I think the second thing was actually that it also helped to bring data, some of the data people were looking at were things that were possibly kind of locked up for analysis during the previous election, or, you know, in the sort of larger news sphere that's out there. And I think that promoting those kinds of things, opening up the data, making it available for analysis will only help to further use of that in the public conversations. So hopefully that will help lead to more and more interest in it, but also more and more involvement, not only with groups like Data for Democracy, but other groups who want to consume that information.
Dave here in Louisville. Similarly, this was our most diverse hackathon. People from different experience levels, if any at all, different parts of town, ages, backgrounds, languages, worldviews. But by mustering volunteers from so many areas, we were able to work on projects that really impacted everyone in their own lives. Government is people. So to bring together such a great mix of volunteers, the government felt more like it was really people to me.
Yeah, Zach here. Thinking from like a business perspective, there's a lot of data scientists that have very high impact on companies. And it's really great to see that these talents are being used in a good societal way to kind of help impact their local communities, because often governments are a bit behind in terms of hiring kind of the newest type of tech and innovation. So it's great to see that they're data scientists within like Data for Democracy and just broader around the world. They're helping out their local communities by using their very highly skilled talents and kind of impacting their local areas.
This is Daniela. One thing that I really appreciated about Data for Democracy, and especially the hackathons, was that I have the feeling there's a lot of interest among a whole range of people, data scientists, but also others, to do something useful, to give back to communities. But it's actually really hard, you know, to just get started on your own. Like, how do I even start? How do I even figure out what's useful? And I think the hackathon especially was one of the reasons why it was so successful and so many people wanted to come. We had many more people who wanted to come to the New York hackathon than we had space for them. Was that really showed me that there is a huge interest for people to get involved and to do sort of data science for social good. And I think that's really exciting.
Well, and I think on that note, maybe we should let people know how they can get involved in any of these efforts that are ongoing. I've seen kind of around the Data for Democracy community that many of the groups that formed around this initial hackathon have continued to get together in DC, in Boulder and Denver, who aren't represented on the call, but I know there was a lot of activity in that area. Seattle, I know there's been talk of this ongoing in New York. So maybe everybody could share a little bit about kind of the area where they're working and how people either living in that area or just around the country might get involved in kind of ongoing efforts to build this avenue for data scientists to get involved in social good projects.
This is Gabriella. I think one of the most powerful things about Data for Democracy is just the community that's been built even outside of the hackathon. So there's so many ways to get plugged into this group that's still growing. You know, join the Slack channel, check out the projects that have been built on data.world, check out all the work that's been done on the GitHub repos. And not only, you know, can you leverage those collaboration tools to build those projects out further and find places that, you know, are of interest to you to get plugged in, join those feedback loops, because I know, you know, specifically even with data.world, we're looking for feedback on how we can make these tools work better for the group. And so just connecting with people and finding ways to apply your skills are always appreciated, and it's going to go a long way.
This is Stephanie. I know in Chicago, those of us who organized this hackathon were really pumped afterwards and really excited about what we accomplished in just a couple of days. And we want to, continue the momentum and make other opportunities available. We're thinking about some sort of, future programming, but we haven't really nailed it down yet. If people are interested in getting more involved in the Data for Democracy Slack, we have a channel for Chicago, and we're happy to have anyone who's interested in, you know, being part of the organizational, you know, structure for the future. We're also, making a point of attending the Shy Hack Night, which is hosted by the Braintree offices here in Chicago on Tuesdays, and maybe, you know, incorporating some of what we want to do in the future into that. But we would love to have more people who are interested in being participating and proposing, you know, new projects or improvements to existing projects. So please, anybody who's interested is welcome.
This is Daniela. First of all, someone said earlier that newcomers were worried about jumping into existing and established projects for the fear of interrupting. I don't think anyone should be worried about jumping in, at least for the drug spending project. We're super happy to have new people and we're super happy to get them started and we have lots of stuff to work on. So I don't think anyone should feel shy about jumping into the Slack and coming to hang out with us. In New York, we're currently trying to keep the momentum going and we actually have our first Data for Democracy Hack Night next week on Tuesday, May 9th at 6:30 at Galvanize. There is a sign up on Meetup. So if you search for Data for Democracy New York on Meetup, you should find it. And we'd love to see people there.
Yeah, this is Zach from Seattle. We actually have had our meetup going for the last few weeks. We've been hosted by Galvanize every Monday night around 6:30. And it's been going pretty well. We've had a lot of new people joining D4D by attending this meetup. And we've also, it's been mostly a mix of like hanging out and just chatting about data projects and ideas around things that we could be doing. But I think in the coming weeks, the organizers and I are thinking about starting to work towards a project that's going to be a very high impact local, like a Seattle focused project that'll be related to like the work that D4D does, but kind of focused on the Seattle area and see where we can kind of take that and how to make a good impact on the community.
Hey, Mark here. This just a quick shout out for DC. Chris Dick and I are setting up a regular event probably once a month or once every other month in DC. And you can check it out on the DC channel in the D4D Slack.
Dave here. Our local brigade recently shook up our leadership team intentionally, and it reinvigorated us. We've stepped up our activity level from 2 hackathons a year and 4 meetings a year to now 4 hackathons a year and 1 meeting every month. We have a code school in town. It's free, but you enroll, called Code Louisville. Their students are getting involved with us, which gives them experience and connections. And our city governments have been building stronger ties to the data community. Our last two events actually have even been across the hall from Louisville's Office for Performance Improvement and Innovation, OPI2, we call it. They've also recently shaken up their leadership team. We have a very active citywide Slack team in Louisville, over 1,000 people and probably 5,000 posts on an average day. And we frequently promote our group and events there, plus on Meetup and other local techie and civic groups.
Hey, this is Nick. So in addition to all these amazing local groups that are now meeting on the regular and all the projects you can find on Slack, and feel free to dive in, like Daniela said, we're also announcing that we're going to be hosting our second hackathon. We are aiming it for the end of Q3 of this year. And in addition to D4D doing this hackathon, we are looking to partner with other organizations and groups that are doing similar things. Because that's one of the strengths of D4D is connecting people, and we want to connect people in different groups so that we're reducing the waste and duplication of work and working smarter to solve civic problems.
All right, so I should wrap up by saying that to get involved with any of the fantastic stuff you heard about from the different leaders of the city groups or for Data for Democracy in general, we'll link to all of the meetup pages and Slack channels and Eventbrites and all of the information that you need to get plugged in wherever you are, or just join the Data for Democracy community in general. You can find your city channel inside our kind of big Slack group and then and connect with everybody who's working in your area there. So we'll give you all the information you need. Thanks again to everybody for, of course, for joining the call and letting us know about the work that you did, but really, first and foremost, for all of the time and energy and effort that you put into organizing these hackathons across the country and in your cities. I think it was a really fantastic way to open up kind of a new channel for data scientists and data types and people learning about this kind of work to get involved in their communities and do really meaningful work. Really meaningful kind of social impact projects. So thank you again, and we'll have everybody back to talk about how it goes next time.
All right, that's all the time we have for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. And, of course, huge thanks to Nick, Daniela, Mark, Dave, Stephanie, Gabriella, and Zach for all the work you did organizing events in your cities and online. We'll link to everybody's Twitter and their personal pages in the blog post that goes with this week's episode on partiallyderivative.com so you know who everybody is. Also, we have to do some shout-outs for folks who did a ton of work organizing the hackathon but couldn't make it for the conversation that we recorded. Lillian Huang, Mike Lucas, and Andy Moon in Chicago. Lillian's also responsible for editing the Data for Democracy blog, our Medium page. So, of course, huge thanks for that as well. Amanda Alvarez, she basically keeps the online community running smoothly. We had Henry Palacci, Bridget Keys, and Carl Marcellus in New York, Margot Spring, Becky Steele, and Robert Kahn in Louisville. Chris Dick was in DC, and then there's a huge list from Data.World. So if you're not familiar with Data.World, they're a collaboration startup in Austin, and they've been a huge force inside Data for Democracy. They actually sent employees to locations around the country to help keep things running smoothly at these different events. So thanks to Sharon Brenner, Celine Arizzolo, Rafael Pereira, John Loins, Noah Ripner, Lydia Garino, Brian Jacob, Shad Reynolds, Jonathan Ortiz, Dashiell Lopez-Mendez, and Sanjana Haveri. It's a massive list of people. So beyond that, thanks, of course, to our sponsors for sponsoring this week's episode. To all our listeners, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Did we lose Jonathan? If he's talking, you're muted, Jonathan. he can edit all this out, thankfully.
Okay, can you guys hear me again?
That needs to be in the blooper reel.